Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as a returning guest, Victoria Hawkins, and she's my shamanic visitor for the day. And she's going to talk a lot about how to apply modern day shamanism into your life, at least from her perspective. And I'm thrilled to have her back again.
Thank you, Lucy. I am very excited to be back again. It's been a whirlwind of some travel for me over the last few weeks since I've seen you, and I think that that will also hold some great wisdom for us as to how I walked through some very, very modern day activities and trying to stay connected to the earth and to my guidance.
And just briefly, I want them to share what you're going to be doing in about a week.
Yes. Okay. So in about a week, I will be hiking another section of the Appalachian Trail.
And you've gone how many times?
I believe this is my seventh time out. I was trying to think about it. But yes, I believe this is my seventh section this summer. Which seven's a fun number, so that's pretty cool.
You know, it's a number that shows up in my chart all the time. Sevens and threes.
I love that. Yeah, those are big ones for me. So this year, I will be along with some companions, some friends, hiking the section of Maryland, the Appalachian Trail in Maryland. And there's also a very small amount in West Virginia. So we're going to link those two together. And the goal is to complete 44 miles. Also fun numbers.
Exactly. Double,
Numbers.
We talked about this. Yeah, the last time. So of the 44 miles over 4 days?
Yes. Okay. 44 miles over 4 days.
So 444.
The numbers keep coming, the signs and symbols. It was interesting because I didn't come up with that hike. Actually, my friend Amanda came up with the hike because we finished Georgia last year.
And how many miles was that?
I can't remember the total of Georgia, but we completed 33 last summer.
Okay, so this is going to be 11 miles further.
It is, and this will be the first time that we've done that extra day. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to in the past, but different things have allowed it not to occur. One was there was a hurricane that was coming through and actually blowing on in to the mountains in Georgia. Oh. So it would have been very dangerous to be out on the trail with wind and rain and everything. Plus, I sleep in a hammock, so a hammock in a hurricane doesn't sound like a good plan to me.
I don't know. My visual is that you would be rolling around.
Yes. Like swinging through the air. So thankfully, got off the trail that time. That was many years ago. Actually, on my first hike, we had planned to be out for 4 days. Different friend that came with me at the time. So Amanda found this particular hike, and we thought it would be neat to be able to complete an entire state, actually two, because of West Virginia being a small portion in West Virginia. And I happen to also be in my 44th year of life on planet Earth, just for a little bit longer. And so I thought that that was a really neat thing, very significant to me. So 44 has been a big number for me this year. It's been a way that the universe is connecting and guiding me, and spirit's guiding me. So I think that this is going to be, it's a very interesting trip because with backpacking, you put on your back what you need for the next how many days you're going to be out there.
Right.
And it's never gone the way that I intellectually plan it. There's always a twist, but it also shows me that we always have the resources we need because I've never been without.
It's a matter of trust.
It's very much a matter of trust and surrendering to your intuition, being guided from within.
And not always needing to be in the driver's seat.
And not always, and not being able to be in the driver's seat. There's something very big. A recognition of, this is not correct English, but it's the only thing I can think of, the bigness of our world and our earth. the vastness. There's something mm-hmm. about that when you are out there. You will see other people mm-hmm. often because the Appalachian Trail is fairly popular, especially mm-hmm. in certain parts. But then there will be other times where you won't see another human being except the mm-hmm. person that's with you for an entire day or more. And that happened to me 1 year with my friend Janine, where we went almost 2 days without seeing another soul. And it was an interesting experience. You go in a little deeper into how you are just one part of this whole...
The vastness of the universe.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Really beautiful. Right. And found... And you know what? It leads me to share something, too. I know you love mice.
Yes.
And 1 year, this was the same year my friend Janine and I were out in a section of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It was a much less populated section, and the trail at points is very well maintained and other points not, because it's all volunteer maintained. It's mm-hmm. no one is paid to maintain the trail. So this section was just very overgrown. So the trail was very hard to see.
And
it was you know, just going the best we could on a terrain map that we have, which are good, but they're not showing you mile by mile, you know, of what's happening. It's not that distinct. It's more like the ups and downs. And there was a point where we were feeling like we're not sure if we're on the trail or not anymore. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, you start getting these mm-hmm. gut feelings. Mm-hmm. So we looked at each other and we said, okay, I think we need to slow down a moment and just see if we're in the right spot. We had actually missed, but we didn't know it yet. We had missed a slight turnoff that were little steps up, but we didn't see them from the angle that we were at, from the perspective that we were at.
Right.
Huge life lessons. So we had started going down this, probably a camping trail, which, you know, you can, there's lots of offshoots where you could go put up a tent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had been starting to walk down. So when we decided to slow down and stop for a moment, I looked at her, and I also practice yoga for many years. We were talking about that briefly before the show today. One of the guides for me through yoga is Ganesh, and mm-hmm. Ganesh is the remover of obstacles, is the way that we
It's the elephant head.
The elephant head, yes.
Okay.
And I probably was even wearing a Ganesh.
Because so you said, please.
I did. And she and Janine loves Ganesh, too. We're both yoga instructors, and that's one of the ways we know each other. Mm-hmm. So I said, we're just calling on Ganesh here to remove the obstacles for us. Well, in Indian art from India, a lot of times you'll see Ganesh. Ganesh has a mouse.
I did not know that. In art.
Yes.
Okay, I did not
know
that.
So you'll see a small little mouse.
Okay.
And it's something about the representation of fear and overcoming fear, because elephants are afraid of mice. Mm-hmm. So there's always a little mouse. And there's also in Varanasi, which I've been to before, a very holy city in India, they show Ganesh with umbrellas. Okay. So it's a big thing for Varanasi. I'm giving you this background to tell you what we saw. So we asked for assistance divinely through Ganesh, and we look down and we see
a mouse,
a tiny mouse who was sitting up on its back hind legs and appeared to be holding an umbrella, because the way he was perched, there was a leaf over his head.
Holding
an umbrella. I mean, he wasn't actually holding it, but just the way the stem was, the leaf was, and this cute little tiny mouse. And then we see a large log in front of us, or right behind him, I should say. Mm-hmm. And we looked at each other and we said, well, if that isn't a clear sign that this is the wrong way, because it's like showing you the obstacle right there.
Exactly.
And there's the symbol, or a symbol for Ganesh sitting there. So we turned back around, and when we walked back on that little camp path, we realized that we could see these steps that we had entirely missed, and we were back on the right trail.
Oh my goodness, how amazing.
Which would have
been
devastating,
really?
Honestly, had we kept going, because we could have been lost.
You could have been.
So there is...
So your intuition said, check, And yes. then your training said Ganesh.
Right.
And he obviously heard. And
said, then gave me a message through nature.
Through nature.
Uh-huh. Which, because we were in that space of, you know what, there's another point that just came to me too, slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of plotting, you know, pushing
forward. And how many people don't slow down? They never see the symbols.
Yes. And I've been one of those people many times. I have always had a lot of energy in mm-hmm. life.
So Katie barred the door?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So being, I think that the idea of very intentionally slowing down has been mm-hmm. something for me, particularly over the last not just, we talked some about, I had big, huge transitions in my life about 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the slowing down didn't start yet. And I would say the last 5 years especially, there's been a more intentional message from the universe to me, and for me heeding that message to say, okay, let's slow down. Let's listen a little bit more deeply.
So maybe previously, you were so busy trying to accomplish whatever you needed to accomplish that slowing down just wasn't part of the picture?
Yes, absolutely. I worked a lot on, well, people would have called me type A, which is funny when most people meet me now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you didn't know me in my 20s, and maybe very early 30s, but basically if you didn't know me in my teens and 20s, then you would probably be very surprised that that was my personality. And I could get a lot done
mm-hmm.
Through pure force and determination.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I was talking about recently with some students of mine, saying that, you know, many times we're very gifted individuals as just in our human form.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get a lot done, but that there's a ceiling to that. And it's a very thick ceiling. It's not even a glass ceiling. It's a very thick ceiling. And that if I'm only working with that human is the best way I can say it, you know, maybe ego-driven way of doing things, then I miss the divine message a lot mm-hmm. of times. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I start to see things start to crumble. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not going the way I want, and it begins to fall apart.
Do you find, because being a therapist for so many years, that when that happens and things start to fall apart, that little negative voice gets in there going, see, I told you so, this isn't going to work, you know, that kind of thing?
Yes, and I think that one of my things that I've had to work with a lot is hearing that voice mm-hmm. and deciding whether it's really coming from divine or whether that's coming from
ego.
Mm-hmm. What I've been trained to think, exactly. What other people tell you in life. You know, right. We have so many influences that we gather over the years.
Right.
It's a little bit of weeding out that mental chatter.
Mm-hmm. And again, people are going to have to take a little bit of time to learn how to quiet that little voice.
Yes.
And just sit with themselves, if nothing else. And go, you know, what is important to me and where do I want to go and
yes.
how do I want to get there? You know, not just jumping into the vehicle and driving.
Right. And I, during the times of big transition for me, I also at that point knew that I didn't know what the plan was.
Mm.
I had no plan except for to be done with the current plan. That was it. And one of my favorite things to do, or I don't know if I would have called it my favorite back then, but I look back and I feel it was a very important time. I would lay on the floor in my bedroom at the time, looking at the ceiling, which was like a popcorn ceiling because it was an older home. The ceilings had not been updated. And Shavasana is what we would call that in yoga, which is your final pose. It actually means corpse pose.
Okay.
That's the translation of Shavasana. And to me, what that means is just allowing the things to die away that no longer serve you.
That's a beautiful symbolism, though.
I mean, yes.
Because it is so symbolic that if you can lay there in that pose and go, I no longer need or want to hold on to these things.
Yes.
And then let them go.
And as I decided to do that, the things that I no longer needed, some were being taken out of my life for me. Some I didn't even notice leave.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't, it clearly wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm. Others, I found that I was holding on to a little more tightly, you know, some, you know, not.
Was it a fear-based hold on to?
Yes, yeah, okay. Definitely.
One if of I them, let it go, then what?
Right. One of right. them was the home that I was living in.
Okay.
I knew that that home, I mean, it literally needed to go. It was part of the plan, was that home was no longer going to be for me and for my two boys who were quite young at the time. So it was interesting because I had put it up for sale, but it wasn't selling. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there was an offer on it, which fell through, and then another that fell through, and all these things happened. And it finally hit me, and it was like 2 years of that. And it finally hit me wow. that I was very fearful about where I was going to go next.
Right.
And I began to release that to be divinely guided. Mm-hmm. So show me where to go next. Because I didn't know. And I kept looking in places, and it wasn't meeting. I just didn't have the finances at that moment that would have supported those places that mm-hmm. I felt like were good places for us to be in. Mm-hmm. When I began to let it go, something became very clear to me in a place that I hadn't even imagined for a significantly less amount. Safe neighborhood. I could walk to schools with my kids, walk them to the school in the morning. Mm-hmm. I ended up with an office across the street eventually.
Oh my.
So this came open before I'd even sold the house. And then my next step was to bless the house, be grateful for it, release it. And I did some rituals mm-hmm. That come out of my shamanic practicing, mm-hmm. which even back then I'd already started to explore and dabble with because I had gained this interest in my Native American roots that we were talking about before. Within a week of blessing it, choosing to release it, saging it, and just beginning to clear that space, after already being guided to a new space, we had an offer on the house.
And it went through.
And it went through. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, there was, at that time, was when a lot of short sales were happening. It just was when the market was that way, and so it was a short sale. Later that year, we found that the debt that was there was completely forgiven.
Oh, my.
So it was just a huge symbol to me of what happened when I let go uh-huh. versus when I was hanging on out of fear that I didn't know where to live next.
You know, one of the things that I think fits, you know, with what you're saying, too, is that when you make the decision as an individual that you're open to the universe. Mm-hmm. I think somebody could say, you know, God.
Yes.
I just say the universe, spirit, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, your guides. But when you become open to allowing those energies to move you along, then things happen. And until you give them permission, because so many times people will sit, and I've done it myself, and I've said, well, you know, I need to wait until. And when you do that, the universe basically goes, oh, well, okay, you're not ready yet. I guess we'll just let you wait.
Yes.
And the minute that you say, I'm open to being guided, and I'm going to step back, I'm going to get out of my own way. And when you do that, then the universe kind of goes, oh, okay, let's move forward.
Yes.
And I know, you know, recently I can say that's true with, you know, the book that I'm that's already come out as an ebook, but now will come out as a soft cover book
yes.
by the end of this year, because the illustrator has come out of Universal Studios. I have a gentleman that's interested in, you know, supporting and mentoring me and going beyond just the book form. And so things are happening that I would never have envisioned could happen even 4 months ago.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's crazy. So, we were talking about feathers and
yes.
I want you to share this because, I have not shared my part of it, but this was so interesting. And we had talked about the fact that I found a little white feather on my doorstep a couple of weeks ago. And I have always known that feathers are symbolic of our spiritual guides or angels, you know, kind of visiting and saying, hey, you're on track. This is nice. I'm happy for you. And so I brought it inside, and I have an amethyst cathedral that's a small cathedral, and I put it in the amethyst cathedral and kind of anchored it there because I was afraid it'd blow away.
Right.
With another crystal. And then a few days later, I happened to be at a restaurant where I was facing the entrance, and I oftentimes, and I've told you this, but I oftentimes feel an animal's eyes on me, whether it's a snake or a bird or whatever it might be, but I can feel, you know, their eyes. And I could feel these eyes. And so I look up, and there's a white dove. And I showed you the picture because there's definitely an aura around this
definitely.
White dove. And I've never seen a white dove in the wild ever. Mm-hmm. And you said you had never seen one either. So I took that as a much more of a divine presence, giving some sort of support, or I don't know what else to call it than that, but just looking down. And so your interpretation would be what?
Well, the feathers that we were talking about first, to me, that's like you're on the right path, and it's a message from divine. And that is something I learned through my studies of just Native American culture and things like that. So feathers to me have always been very important that way. Sometimes feathers will be left by, one of my totems is the hawk, which my last name is Hawkins. So it took me a while to figure that out, but it fits. So hawks are a big part of how I get messages, and they'll often leave me feathers. Just on a walk the other day, I found a hawk feather and stuck it in my hair while I was walking. Interestingly, it blew away right at the end of my walk, and so I felt it was done. It was just more of a message for me during that time.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes. Then I feel like, so I always feel like that the feathers are that message, like, hey, yeah, you're on the right track, or we're just sending you a message to know that we're there. Sometimes feathers have been very specific for me, so I'll tell you about that real quick before I go to the bigger animal, right? The bigger presentation of feathers. I had a question years ago about where to move my private practice. And I had a larger private practice at the time, but had been in a group. And I was feeling that I needed to move out on my own. But again, I was hanging on. I do hang on to jobs a little bit sometimes. That's one I've been learning lately to let go.
That's security.
Yes. Yeah. So I was feeling nervous and scared and wasn't sure how to do it. And so I asked for a sign. And I actually specifically asked for three feathers. I felt like I needed a really big sign for me to feel comfortable and feel secure. So I had looked at all these different places, and I thought that one was the right place for me, but I didn't find the feathers, and so I declined. Through a series of events, the other place I looked at was not even open. I mean, they didn't have a spot for me. So I thought, well, this must not be the place. But I found the three feathers at that place. They were outside the door. There was three little white feathers together.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I thought, well, that's odd because it's not available. Eventually.
It was available.
Like, within 2 weeks, they called me back and said the person that they thought that they were renting to decided to go somewhere different, and that the spot was open for me.
Oh, my. Okay.
And it was like everything, perfect spot. This is the one I literally walked across the street from my home. So, and I could walk to my kids' school afterwards. It was beautiful and perfect. And the three feathers were something that I had asked for as a sign. Threes are big for me too. They have been my whole life. And
maybe we were sisters in
maybe
another
we
lifetime.
Were. So I do find, though, sometimes that, okay, so the feathers are a sign, like, that always reminds me I'm connected and I'm listening, and and I use feathers for smudging. And things of that nature. When I see the animal, I feel like that's even a bigger representation to give us that more solid, like, yes, we are here. And you are listening. And the doves, to me, doves mean peace often. That's one of the symbology of doves. And white has a purity to it. I love the colors of different, you know, color symbology as well. So, and then when you show me the picture, there's this beautiful white aura around the dove that you can see. And so to me, I really felt like it was just divine with you, mm-hmm. and that you felt that deep peace when you saw it too. Right.
And it was incredible. Yes. I was just like, and the fact that I'm assuming it was a she, but it could have been a he, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that it was rare for one to sit for 20 minutes. And I had looked yes. at my watch at the beginning mm-hmm. Because I just did. I mean, I was just like, what time is it? And it was actually about 3:00. So another one of those numbers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the fact that she stayed for such a long time mm-hmm. and no other bird came close to her. So nothing startled her or moved her away.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I was busy talking and then I looked up and she was gone. So I'm guessing it was around 20 minutes. You had talked a little bit about a story of a Native American
mm-hmm.
and I wanted you to share that story because
sure.
it was the good guy, bad guy kind of concept.
Right. Yes. So. This is an interesting, it's an interesting legend that I started researching this year.
You said it was Lakota?
Lakota.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, and I don't remember which other tribes, but other North American tribes also give a similar story, or mm-hmm. the same story, which I find interesting just because there's distance between the tribes.
Right. But there's legends.
But there's legends yeah. that carry.
Absolutely.
So the Lakota is where we know this one most from. And I've always been drawn to Lakota.
Where were they?
Are more of the out west.
Oh, out west. Okay.
Like the Dakotas, if I remember the correctly. Okay.
Oh, okay. So hence Lakota, Dakota, maybe?
Oh, possibly so. Yes.
Yeah.
They're not my background as far as like my actual ancestry and heritage.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've always found they have a strong presence.
Mm-hmm.
In America,
Dances with Wolves? Wasn't
I
that
think
Lakota?
It is
yeah.
actually yes. Dances with Wolves is Lakota, so there is a strong presence with them. There's a lot of written material from the Lakotas, and they're a very organized tribe still too.
Mm-hmm.
So you will find things from them as far as protection of the earth and things
mm-hmm.
of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read some of their. The Lakota Way is a beautiful book
yes, yeah.
that has some of their legends in it. Although, honestly, I haven't read that in a long time, so I can't remember if this story is in there or not. I would say that it probably is. But
okay.
you know how sometimes things kind of go out of your mind for a bit, and
right,
then they come back
right,
in a new way.
Right.
So this past year, just at the beginning of 2019, I began just receiving intuitive guidance from white buffalo calf women. I didn't really remember or know much about White Buffalo Calf Woman. I'd heard her name many times, but I hadn't felt a strong urge to, like, research her.
Have you ever seen a white buffalo, by the way?
Not only in photo.
Photos?
Yes.
If you go to, and I'm just going to interject
yes,
this, but
please.
If you would ever get to Wisconsin, right outside of Green Bay, we have the Oneidas
yes.
are there and the Menominees. But, of course, white buffaloes are revered. And a baby white buffalo was born just a few years ago.
Oh.
And so I think it's still there because they were using
okay.
it as, a training and an understanding of their culture.
Yes.
And so people could go and actually look at the baby buffalo and then as it grew up. So I'm not sure what's happened to it.
Interesting. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because... We'll get to why that's significant, too,
mm-hmm.
just even a global manner.
Mm-hmm.
So White Buffalo Calf Woman was coming to me. A good friend of mine also connects with angels, angel guidance, and
mm-hmm.
even sees angels and things like that. And she also had said to me, too, yes, this she's really connecting with you. You might want to just see what's going on there. Which is, this is how I live my life. It's just... what comes to me and starting to look and research it. So I looked up her legend and there was the first thing that struck me, which I thought was very interesting, was she is considered a spirit guide
mm-hmm.
and a holy person, but not like a human,
mm-hmm.
divine.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two young warriors that were out,
mm-hmm.
Lakota, in the story that I read. And the one, it says in the legend, comes to her with ill intent. So we don't know exactly what that ill intent is, but, to harm her in some way is the way that we interpret that. And she basically vaporizes him, which I was like, oh.
She had power.
She has power. And the second young man sees her for her sacredness and her holiness and, like, honors her. And so she comes back to the tribe with him. And at that time, the tribe was struggling. They didn't have the resources they need. They didn't have food that they needed at that time. So she comes and she teaches them 7 sacred rites. Mm. The other thing that really popped out for me was one of the things that she teaches about is the peace pipe. And so when you see artwork that she's in, there is a peace pipe in it. She's usually holding the peace pipe in the artwork. And the peace pipe is to be made by both, parts of it are made by the woman, and parts of it are made by the man.
And then joined together.
And so there was a great significance to that. And there was, and as I researched her, that was one of the messages that really popped out to me, mm-hmm. was the balance of the man and the woman, and the balance of our male and female. But really, I was seeing it as balance of men and women, you know, human men and mm-hmm. women, and mm-hmm. coming together with respect and honor and equality and bringing our gifts mm-hmm. together. You know, the women are making this part, the men are making this part, and they were joining those gifts together
right.
to create peace. I mean, it's a peace pipe.
It is a peace pipe. but when you look at it at even a slightly different perspective, mm-hmm. I mean, that is what I think males and females have always done, but they've isolated it in terms of sexuality. So
yes.
it has only been coming together to create a child
yeah.
or coming together for pleasure. But when you put it in the bigger scope mm-hmm. of things, then it is about creating everything. It's creating harmony. It's creating
yes.
spiritualism. It's creating a mental equality, if you will. So
yes.
all of it is important. And somehow along the way, I think the Native Americans have kept that as
right.
an understanding. And a lot of cultures have lost it. So it has become power, control, dominance.
Yes.
And not what it was intended to be.
And harmony is a big message of
yeah.
white buffalo calf woman. That's mm-hmm. one of her, you know, it's one of the terms that they apply to her is harmony, which
harmony.
I love. Mm-hmm. As she leaves the tribe, and this is where the white buffalo part comes in, as she leaves the tribe and they watch her walk out.
Now, is she walking out physically or spiritually?
She's walking out spirit. I mean, she's there in form from
in
what
form.
You can tell through the legend.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as she is going out, she turns into a buffalo, which changes color.
Oh, my gosh.
So
wow.
it's like, and I may get the order wrong, but it's like black, brown, red, and then white.
White.
And then she becomes her, you know, the woman form again, and, you know, we don't see her again.
Right.
However, at that point, now there was plenty of buffalo. Like, then the buffalo came
back.
So that one of the other big messages for her guidance is that your resources are always there.
So abundance is
abundance,
part of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, is
right.
part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that the white buffalo became the symbol. So when a white buffalo is born, which doesn't happen very often.
No, it's rare. Mm-hmm.
It is a symbol of a time of the way that I'm interpreting it. And this is where it just comes into intuitive interpreting
mm-hmm.
on my part.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the message for me. Might be for others too. Is that we do have that prosperity within.
Mm-hmm.
And because the white buffalo is born where other people can see it. You know, this is a real white buffalo,
mm-hmm.
not just a picture of it.
Exactly.
It is a marker for coming into a time of harmony or the potential for harmony,
mm-hmm.
knowing our abundance and prosperity within.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe honoring divine guidance
mm-hmm.
and honoring the collaboration
right.
of men and women, you know? I mean, I know this past year, it's just like you and I sitting here. I've had the opportunity to collaborate in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even plan any of those at all. Wouldn't have even known to look for you, Lucy, a year and a half ago.
No, that's true. And my connection with one of your friends is
yes.
what, you know, led us here. And I do believe if we listen,
yes.
you know, but... you know, the expression that, you know, God gave us 2 ears to listen twice as much as we speak. But I would say that the majority of people that I've met in my lifetime like to talk more than they like to listen. Mm. And they haven't harnessed those skills. So when you truly begin to listen, you hear so much more than just words.
Yes.
And so that's incredibly important. But again, you know, the majority of people out there don't have a clue about learning that skill of just listening, being quiet. Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, does it amazingly well. And, you know, when you stop yourself long enough to hear maybe the pain in somebody else, you can maybe not help them, but you can be there.
Yeah.
And just that emotional presence is sometimes all anybody needs, is just knowing
Absolutely.
That somebody cares. And I would say, unfortunately, and as a therapist yourself, mm-hmm. a lot of the therapists that I knew, whether it was in the schools or in private practice or hospital settings, they were there more to probably guide mm-hmm. or to use skills that they
yes.
had learned instead of just being with the individual. So
it's interesting. I have the opportunity of being a supervisor for people for their clinical license in, mm-hmm. in Florida, because I've been LCSW for, well, since 2001, so however many years that is now.
18.
It's been a bit, hasn't it?
Yes,
wow.
It has. Yeah. You didn't know you were that scholar.
I didn't know that. But in that is a gift to be able to be a guide to them mm-hmm. as they are, you know, offering their services to others. And one of the things I just talked about this past week with one of my supervisees was that if we don't know anything to do, because mm-hmm. sometimes you get cases that feel out of your realm. Yeah. And I said, if you know nothing to do, just know that you can be there to listen, mm-hmm. just like you said, mm-hmm. and that you are sharing compassion with them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, many times, actually, almost all the time, mm-hmm. we haven't had compassion a lot of our lives as individuals.
No. I mean, it's like somebody says, well, you know, you need to be kicked in the pants and move forward. And it's
right.
like, that's not what they need.
Yeah. So I think that presence, like mm-hmm. you're saying, just being there mm-hmm. fully mm-hmm. listening. Sometimes in yoga, we call it holding space for people.
Exactly.
You
know? That's my term.
Yeah.
And if you are holding space, it's literally like, think of your arms as this
yes.
big circle around them, and they can sit safely inside that circle, say whatever they want to say, and know that they're not going to be judged.
Yes. And that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from that space, their guidance can come out.
Right.
And sometimes I do remind people that they have that guidance inside. Mm-hmm. Many times I remind them of that.
Right. Because they don't think they do.
Because they don't think so. Yeah. They think that I'm going to be the one that somehow
right.
turns on the light switch and everything is there.
Or shows them how.
Or shows them how, yeah.
And your road, your path, is probably going to be very different than what their path would be.
Yes.
So when you start asking, one of the neatest things that I learned, and again, you probably know this, but many, many, many years ago, I was being mentored by a therapist who was, I felt, was incredibly skillful. But what he had shared with me, he said, you know, too many times teachers, parents, they'll go, why did you do that? And they'll ask why. And he said, don't ever use why, because you get a defense posture.
Mm.
Instead, ask what, when, where, who, mm-hmm. and how. And if you do that with kids, and that's how I used it in the schools and things, is if you say, you know, like the teacher might have, well, why did you push him down?
Yes.
Or push her down or pull her hair or whatever it might have been. Instead, if you say, what made you think that was a good idea?
Right.
And then you stop and let them talk to you about, you know, well, I thought da 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 da. But yeah, I think, you know, it's like an interview.
Yes.
In a way. And so it allows for those interviewing skills to be used. And the person being interviewed, the child, the adult, whoever it might be, is then allowed to talk, mm-hmm. you know? And so they don't have to defend, because they're just sharing. They're just sharing their thoughts.
Oh, it's so interesting. As you were talking about, you know, asking the question, waiting, I worked for many years in counseling settings with young kids, elementary mm-hmm. schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And
that we share in common.
That we share in common, too.
Right.
there was, and it is escaping me who it was that gave it to me. It might have been another therapist, or it might have actually, I think it was another therapist so many years ago, gave me a talking stick. Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. back to, you know, these Native American pieces have have been making themselves known to me for many years, because I believe that I got that talking stick when I was working in residential, and that was in 98, 99, 2000.
Okay.
And the talking stick was something that I began to use with my young clients who didn't have a voice mm-hmm. yet.
So you handed it to them.
I would hand it to them and wait. Mm-hmm. And other tools that I might have used was drawing instead. Right. You know, a lot of times if the words weren't there yet, they could create something.
They could create mm-hmm. it. And then if you just said, tell me about the picture.
Yes. And so those beautiful, beautiful tools. But the talking stick, and I would tell them about a talking stick, mm-hmm. you know, like when you're holding the, and I would use it in my groups too, mm-hmm. because sometimes they all wanted to talk.
Mm-hmm. So they got the stick.
So they got the stick, and we would pass it around, and it would be, you know, another person's turn to talk. Right. And, you know, just thinking about that right now, what a beautiful way to express or to teach about allowing people to express themselves mm-hmm. and having their time to mm-hmm. express it, and then allowing somebody else and listening to them mm-hmm. while they're mm-hmm. sharing or speaking or
absolutely.
Offering their idea.
Right.
Really fun stuff. And
it can be applied in families today.
Absolutely.
So they don't have to go to a therapy setting to right. make this happen. But if a mom or a dad that's out there listening would just recognize maybe to let the child go out into the yard and pick a stick.
Yes.
And maybe they could decorate it somehow. And then that would be when they needed to share, they would have their talking stick, or it could sit maybe in a joint area of a family room or a kitchen and always be there.
Yes.
You know, as a way to share something that was going on. When my son was very young, up until he was probably 13 or 14 years old, at the end of every day, we would have our little quiet time together. And he would be, you know, he would get into bed ready to turn out the light. And when he was really little, we would read stories.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got a little bit older, it was just that 5 minutes or 10 minutes where he would share the best parts of his day.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe share something that was troubling to him. Mm-hmm. And that was the way that he could put closure on it.
Yes.
So at the end of his day, it didn't have to carry over into the next day.
Yes.
So that's another technique that can be used. But just learning to really and truly hear another person. And one of the things, again, that I've mentioned in the past with Thich Nhat Hanh is, you know, because he works with nations.
Yes.
Not just individuals.
Yes.
And so one of the things that he has said is, if he is the cause of the pain for that individual, or maybe that country or whoever he's working with, then they need to be able to share that.
Yes.
You know, so he sees it, and now he needs to understand it. And so, you know, please share. And I also think that in a lot of families, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we lose touch of how we might be a part of that equation that's causing the problem. And for children, it's because they're seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
For a spouse, it might be the same thing.
Right.
You know, maybe they jumped into a relationship where it was a mother, you know, relationship that the man is now having with mm-hmm. his wife, and she's also a mom to him. Or maybe it's a father, you know, reversed. Mm-hmm. And if the relationship between daughter and father was one that was dictatorial, that doesn't work too
right.
well as a husband and wife.
Right.
So it's just fascinating to me how I've seen this over the years. And then, like you said, it's in cultures. It's in Native American
yes.
cultures, and they teach it with different stories.
Yeah, and just that communication, you know, I am always grateful because of what I decided to go to school for is where I learned communication.
Right.
No one was teaching me communication. Well, they were teaching me a way to communicate, but it wasn't all that effective for me once mm-hmm. I began to enter my life. And so in a lot of ways, the world of becoming a therapist taught me about communication,
mm-hmm.
allowed me to teach communication to others and begin to experiment with that.
Right.
And also find, you know, success with it in that part of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a therapist and mm-hmm. communicating and helping others communicate, which then helped to open up my eyes to the areas that weren't feeling as successful in those ways.
And did you, I mean, we talked about this a little before the show started, but did you kind of feel like as you were doing this, those layers being peeled back?
Yes.
So you started with the outer one and then just kept going. Was there ever a time that maybe the shamanic practices helped you peel those back a little more easily?
Yes. And I feel that I actually brought in a couple of stones that I, well, actually one's a stone and one's a shell that I brought in today to just be a part of our talk today. I have found that my connection with the earth has been a big part of me releasing those things, like I was saying, that are no longer serving. And because I've been interested in seeing what the signs mean, I do a lot of research. I like research. It's fun to me. I always used to love writing research papers and things like that when I was, you know, more in scholastic time of my life. And so when I would start to see something frequently, like an animal or, you know, a bird or a particular type of stone or rock or whatever, I would try to research and see, well, what does that mean? Which I think is kind of an interesting thing because that's going to the external first. Okay. Like, what does everybody else say this means?
Right.
But that was my way in. I very much valued other people's, not everybody else's opinion, because I did that for a while, but that was in a much less balanced part of my life.
Right.
So let's say this is me beginning to explore, okay, what is balanced for me? What does a joyful life really look like? I started looking for those signs through nature. So if I saw the hawk so many times before I really made that connection, I mean, it actually swooped into, I was living in an apartment at the time and I had like a balcony outside my apartment. It swooped into the balcony.
Oh, and landed
in front of my face and flew back out.
Oh, it didn't stay.
No, okay. But it had been, maybe not the same one, but a hawk had been flying in front of my car. It had been like trying to get my attention, right? And I'm like, wow, that's weird. And finally, when it swooped in so close to me that I could almost, you know, touch it, I said, okay, what's this message? So I started looking at other people's idea of what the message was. And that was one of those first layers that I needed to always have the guidance from someone else that I saw as wise.
So was your message, because I mean, hawks, I would think, would be all about pay attention or be aware.
And well, there's a couple things that shout out to me first from other people's point, right? I use Stephen Farmer is a author that has a spirit guide book, and I can't remember. It may just be called Animal Spirit Guides. So I had that book already. It's a very well-worn book of mine now. And he speaks some about their ability to go above the situation and find new perspective. So that was kind of how I started looking at it first, was getting out of the mire and kind of like flying above and seeing. And then the next deeper level. So I kind of worked with that for a while, right? And I kept seeing hawks and they leave me feathers and all that kind of thing. Then over a few years, I began to even shed a few, not that I no longer valued what they said, but I weaned down the number of people I was asking for guidance, if that makes sense. It was almost like, okay.
People that resonated with you more, maybe.
Right. And realized that I needed to, for me, focus in a little bit on listening better to my own within guidance. And then also, occasionally, when not feeling secure, check that off with someone else, you know, of these very small, like three total, and really two that I go to now, people that I felt their guidance was very clear, that they were really being a conduit, and that very little their own self was getting
in the way.
Sprinkled in there. And so as that next layer came off, I really started listening to what do I think this means? And so then the next one for Hawk for me has also been about patience.
Oh, because they don't always get their dinner right away.
Exactly. Okay. Which maybe no one else has ever had that as a message from the hawk,
right,
you know?
Right.
They don't necessarily look patient to some people, but I watch them a lot. Mm-hmm. And they will sit for a while, you know, up high.
Right, observing.
Observing.
Exactly.
And so it was funny. I was like, oh, the message I'm getting now from them is patience and waiting. And knowing that you're going to see distinctly, because they see well, keen eyes, hawk eyes, right? See keenly what's going to be the time to take action.
Right. So it's a matter of unfolding, like almost like the hawk would say, be aware of your life unfolding.
Yes.
Look around and see the edges, because it's all coming in your favor.
Yes.
And that's what happens with their dinner.
And that has been the message that I've been getting so strongly in the past month.
Uh-huh.
I've had the opportunity to travel around for like 3 weeks with my older son. He plays baseball and he's 17, and he's been on like a tour basically with the club team that he plays for. So I was in West Palm Beach area, I was in Atlanta area, and I was in Fort Myers for extended periods of time. And some of the things that I was doing during that time, because my job basically was be mom, deliver him to the game, make sure his uniform's clean, feed him breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And beyond that, I had taken just a few items, one of which was my rock and shell. Well, the shell actually arrived there somehow on its own, which is a whole other story, maybe for another time. I had a journal that I've been writing in, just a small journal, and I would drop him off at his game. There was always like an hour of warm-up time, and do my meditations sitting somewhere out there in nature or take a walk. And during those times, what was really becoming clear to me as I was listening to the world around me and the nature around me was what you said: be patient and let things unfold. And there, I came out of that in one of the most settled places of my life, which is funny because to me, you know, a shaman at a teenage baseball game is kind of a funny thing to me. That you can get shamanic value out of attending a game or being a part of this process that we would call very, you know, very modern day. And one of the other things during that time that I really decided to release was the outcome of any of this for him. Because I think sometimes, at least for me as a mom, I can get a little wrapped up in what I see is great for my kids. I have two boys, both teenagers now. And really deciding to offer them up to divine, even though they're already divine, you know, and let go of the outcome and just be there and be present in the way that I needed to be present.
You know, one of the things that is, and I don't know if it has anything to do with anything, but I'm going to just share this.
Go for
because
it.
You talked about the word collaboration earlier.
Ah.
And what is it about a baseball game?
In oh my
many
goodness.
Respects is you have a bunch of players and you have a hawk that's saying, watch it unfold.
Right.
And you have a lot of players where collaboratively their outcome is they'd like to win. They'd
right.
like to win that game, but they have to work as a team and they have to kind of watch it unfold. It can't be one person that is necessarily the star player and get the same event. So
right.
I'm wondering if you're sitting there in Fort Myers or in, you said Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, but I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if that could be a part of this, is that they wanted you to watch as he's unfolding and as the team is gelling, you know, together, because they're working towards a joint venture, a collaboration.
Well, an interesting thing that occurred too during that process, their team had struggled quite a bit throughout the summer, and through an amazing series of a couple of events, a team forfeited. Therefore, they got moved into the next category. I'm not all that sportsy, even though I watch it a lot, so I can't remember what it's called. Bracket, I think. And they won both their games in that bracket, which moved them to the next bracket. And they went to the championship, and they won the championship of the last tournament.
There you go.
So there was very... And I guess this is kind of the theme that we've been talking about in all the different ways that we've traveled today. Shamanism, to me, is living your life in tune with divine energy, and that there's divine energy in everything.
In everything.
Mm-hmm. And if I can sit back, get my small self out of the way as I say it, so that that divine true self comes through, I start to hear my messages in everything. And then someone else connects some dots for me. So I watched this team come together and then get the opportunity to actually win a championship at the end, which was pretty amazing for them.
Oh, absolutely.
And each of them get to be highlighted in their own different ways for their own gifts and skills, because everybody's bringing their own thing to the table there.
Right.
And the other thing I did a lot intentionally throughout was going in those places and blessing the area that I was in. So I used it as a, you know, like, this earth is sacred. And there was a neat awareness of that to me, especially in Fort Myers, because there's a lot of Native American mounds and things there in that area. I didn't visit any of them because I was too busy, but I was aware of them because I would see signs for them. And it made me just think about the sacredness of land.
Yes.
And to intentionally be doing that. Like, this is sacred land.
Absolutely. And I would think, I mean, this is maybe really stepping outside the box.
Sure.
But I would think that as you blessed the area where they were playing and made yourself aware of that energy, that every living blade of grass, you know, every little bug that was there. There was the funniest thing that happened the other day. And I do not like roaches of any kind, shape. I really don't. I'm not big on spiders. You know, most animals, if they're in my home, I will take out.
Right.
In some way, shape, or form.
Right.
But for some reason, a roach just really bugs me. And I was in a restaurant bathroom. And I had set my purse. Normally, you would never want to set your purse on the ground, right? But I had set my purse on the ground, kind of where I knew it was fairly clean. And did what I needed to do and got and picked my purse up. And there was a roach that was about 2 inches long.
Oh, my.
That was right by my purse. So normally, I would have been fleeing. But for whatever reason, with the things that have been happening lately, I looked at it and I said, don't you dare move. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. And I washed my hands and I kept watching it.
Yeah.
And it never moved, never budged. And I'm sure it was terrified, but I had sent it some energy to say, no, you are going to stay right there because I do not want to kill you. And I want you to stay safe, but don't get in my purse. Don't get near my feet.
Yes.
And it did until I left. And then when I looked back, it was moving as I was walking out the door. So I think as you were in those areas with the team, everything felt the energy that you were blessing that land. And it was giving back, you know, an energy that maybe even allowed the boys to play at a level that they would not have played at normally.
And that was my thought, too. Yeah, I really felt that they were energized by that. And it does. It shows the what we can do just deciding to live in harmony.
Yeah.
And you see things in a different way, too. Those signs and symbols just pop right out in nature.
And it's
you.
Like, how did I miss it before?
Yes. Yes.
Well, Victoria, our time is already flown past. But I know you'll be back. And so we'll just continue talking about how shamanism and modern day living can, you know, be totally one with each other. And it's just that awareness level, you know, that we're really talking about. For those that were not able to listen to the show live, which always goes from 11 to 12 on TampaBayFM.net, please go to SynergyConnectionRadio.com. A little bit later this afternoon, the shows are archived there. If you read under show notes, You might find other shows of interest. There's one coming up that a lot of people, I think, are going to enjoy, Understanding Autoimmune Disorders. And it's so important to be looking at health and wellness from a physical point of view, as well as emotional and spiritual, because you have to have all of them to truly live your best life. And that's what this program is really all about. So I hope everyone has a fabulous remainder of your week, an awesome weekend. May you go out there and bless others and live your best life. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Talk to you next week.